So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 7, entitled Further Inquiries by Vidura, Text Number 37. Tattvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katida Prati Sankramaha Tatremam ka upasiran ka usvedanu sherate. Word for word meanings. Tattvanam, of the elements of nature. Bhagavan, O great sage. Tesham, of them. Katidha, how many? Prati sankramaha, dissolutions. Tatra, thereupon. Imam, unto the Supreme Lord. Ke, who are they? Upasiran, being saved. Ke, who are they?
Who?
Swit, may. Anusherate, serve the Lord while he sleeps. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. Please describe how many dissolutions there are for the elements of material nature and who survives after the dissolutions to serve the Lord while he is asleep. Translation, please repeat. Please describe
how many dissolutions there are
for the elements of material nature and who survives after the dissolution
to serve the Lord
while he is asleep. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 5.47 and 48, it is said that all the material manifestations with innumerable universes appear and disappear with the breathing of Mahavishnu lying in yoga nidra or mystic sleep. Yah karanana vajale bhajati sma yoga nidram ananta jagadandas saromakupah adhar shaktim avalambya param swamurtim govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami yasyaika nishvasita kalam athavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur Mahansa Iha Yasya Kala Vishesho Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govinda, the ultimate and supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, lies sleeping unlimitedly on the causal ocean in order to create unlimited numbers of universes during that sleep. He lies on the water by his own internal potency, and I worship that original Supreme Godhead. Due to his breathing, innumerable universes come into existence, and when he withdraws his breath, there occurs the dissolution of all lords of the universes. That plenary portion of the Supreme Lord is called Mahavishnu, and he is a part of Lord Krishna. I worship Govinda, the original Lord. After the dissolution of the material manifestations, the Lord and his kingdom beyond the causal ocean do not disappear, nor do the inhabitants, the Lord's associates. The associates of the Lord are far more numerous than the living entities who have forgotten the Lord due to material association.
The impersonalist's explanation of the word aham in the four verses of the original Bhagavatam, aham evasam evagre, etc., is refuted here. The Lord and His eternal associates remain after the dissolution. Vidura's inquiry about such persons is a clear indication of the existence of all the paraphernalia of the Lord. This is also confirmed in the Kashi Khanda, as quoted by both Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, who follow in the footsteps of Srila Sridhar Swami. Na chavante hi tad bhakta mahatyam pralayapadi atochuto khile loke sa ekah sarvago vyayah. The devotees of the Lord never annihilate their individual existences even after the dissolution of the entire cosmic manifestation. The Lord and the devotees who associate with Him are always eternal in both the material and spiritual worlds. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinavando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's a very nice description about Mahavishnu and how dissolution takes place. So, Srishti, Sthiti, Pralaya, these are the three stages. First, there is creation, and then there is the maintenance period, and then there is dissolution. So, everything we see in this material world goes through these three stages. In spiritual world, nothing was ever created or it will be destroyed ever. It's eternal. So it's totally opposite to material world. In material world, there are three types of limitations. Ullangita trivida sima samatishai. Trivida sima. Three types of limitations. We are limited by time. We are limited by space, and we are limited by thought. So we cannot stop time. What are the effects of time? Our body is aging. So people want to stop aging. No one wants to become old and ugly. But we can't stop time. We can remove the battery from the clock. And does that mean that we have stopped time? No. Our body clock will keep going. We have to keep breathing. If you can somehow stop or reduce breathing, then actually to some degree you stop time. That's how the mystic yogis are able to live for, some can live for 500 years, 700 years like that. Because we have limited amount of breaths allocated for this particular body. So mystic yogis, they elongate their life by reducing their breathing system. There is Pura, Karecha, Kumbhak. They know the incoming breath, outgoing breath, and then they merge the both of them and keep them steady. So they reduce their breathing process. But modern day society is not aware of these processes. Although these processes are material processes, there is nothing spiritual about it. Breathing and your chakras and everything is material, material body. But that's subtle science. And that subtle material science is also not very well known these days. So we cannot stop time and space. We are limited by space. We try to control space. People are have created these aeroplanes and spaceships. So we think that we are able to control space. We can go here and there at our will. But still, we can be only at one place at one time. And those people who travel a lot, it's actually a very hellish life. They think that, oh, we are going from here and there and traveling so much. Last year I traveled so much like that. So they try to glorify themselves. But actually it's very hellish. When you go in a plane, you breathe that bad air in there. And if you're not in the business class, your seat is very cramped. And it's a hellish situation. You can't move, not much freedom. So actually we don't have any control over space as well. And then the third type of limitation that we have is of thought. In Bhagavad Gita it says, Karana guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. Actually, according to our association with material modes, we will have particular thoughts. So this world is a dirty place. It said, Dukhalayam ashashvatam. And especially in Kali Yuga, there is a lot of sin going around. So in this environment, we cannot have good thoughts unless we take shelter of Krishna and devotees. We cannot say that, no, we have control over our thoughts. Doesn't matter who we associate with. No, we are limited. We are very limited. We are creatures of our association. So in this material world, we have these limitations. Limitations of time, space and thought. So that makes it very difficult to understand that there is a realm where these limitations don't exist. So that's the struggle for us, the beginning devotees. Gross materialists who are fully engrossed by material modes, they don't have any conception and they don't want to know about any other realm. And those who are fully realized, they are fully into that world. So for others who are practicing, who are aspiring to reach that level of full spiritual realization, for them it's very hard to understand what is that realm where there are no limitations of time, space and thought. So that's our struggle. So this system has been given so that we can understand it slowly, gradually, step by step. In spiritual world, there is no creation and dissolution. Parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yahasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. So this material world manifests and unmanifests. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there is something beyond this material world. Parastasmatu bhavonyo. There is another manifestation which is beyond this realm, which has nothing to do with creation and maintenance. So this world manifests. Vyakta, avyakta. Sometimes it's vyakta, sometimes it's avyakta. the whole, or we can just see our body. Our body is a part of this material realm. So sometimes this body is manifest, and then at the time of death, this body is unmanifest. So first the child takes birth, that's the creation of this body, and then it stays for some time, it produces, it grows, it produces byproducts, and then it dwindles, and then it vanishes. That's the dissolution of this body. So that's this world. But in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and other scriptures, so much information is provided about the spiritual realm, where there is no creation and no dissolution. So according to modern age, this sounds, and they term it as mythology. This is mythology. And what we read today about Mahavishnu, that there is a person lying in the causal ocean, and there are universes coming out of his pores. He's lying in yoga nidra. Ananta jagadanda sa roma kupa. From his roma, from his bodily pores, there are universes emanating. So this is mythology for most people. And for beginning devotees, also it's very hard to conceive that there is a big person lying in causal ocean and there are universes being emanated from his pores. So hard, I can't conceive myself. So what to do? So that's why we need to have some sincerity and simplicity. So we must say that, okay, I can't conceive it now, and Krishna willing, I may conceive it later. But there are some things which we can conceive. We haven't seen Krishna, for example. We can say we haven't seen Krishna face to face in this life. We haven't seen Mahavishnu. But we have seen devotees, pure devotees. And we see how they act. And that gives faith that this person cannot lie. So when we see the actions of pure devotees, how they are dedicating their life in serving Krishna and helping people, then we develop faith on those devotees first. And by developing faith on those devotees, we understand that what this person is saying may not make sense now, but it must be true. Because such people are non-duplicitous. What is duplicity? Duplicity means you think something, you say something, you act in a different way. And that's the main characteristic of this age. This age is called Kali. Kali means color, age of quarrel, or age of hypocrisy. So this is hypocrisy. You say something, but you act in a different way. So everyone is a hypocrite in this age. But devotees, because they are beyond three modes, and they are beyond the four defects, that's why they are pure. What are the four defects? Our senses are imperfect. We are illusion. And we make mistakes. And in the end, because we are imperfect, so we cheat others. So that's hypocrisy. We have so many limitations, but we pose that, no, we know everything, we are great scientists and philosophers, this is my theory, this is my Nobel Prize on the wall. So this is called hypocrisy. You don't know anything, you're not a teacher, you're a cheater. But you pose as a great person. So that's the characteristic of a conditioned living being. So all these big, big scientists and scholars, they are conditioned because we can see they don't know anything and they're posing as great personalities and they're cheating common people. So that proves they are conditioned. But pure devotees are not conditioned. So that's why when we see their activities, they come and they go and sometimes we stay with them and we see how they are acting. So they are acting beyond the modes. So they are not duplicitous. So whatever they will speak is true. And what do pure devotees speak? They repeat the words of Shastra. And they say there is a big personality lying on the causal ocean, and from his pores there are universes emanating. So then we say, okay, if you say it must be true. So that's how we reach Krishna, through devotees. Without devotees, without live gurus, we cannot reach Krishna. You cannot say, okay, I respect Jagannath Das Babaji and no one else. No, he is not present in front of us at the moment in one sense. We need live examples. That's the importance of parampara. Why is parampara there? Parampara is there because we need live gurus in front of us so that we can develop our faith. And faith is the first step which will take us to Krishna Prema. As Banu Maharaj were discussing, there are five goals of human life. Everyone has one of these five goals. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. And ultimately the greatest goal, as Mahaprabhu has said, Prema Pumartho Mahan, the fifth goal, the love of Godhead. But to reach there, the first step is faith. And faith increases exponentially as we go forward. Initially we have very little faith, it's called Komal Shraddha. So Kanishta Adhikari has very weak faith. It can be shaken by anyone. Oh, I saw this on internet. So this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is not true. They are saying this happened, that happened. So because faith is very weak. Oh, my mother said this. Why are you going to temple so much? Just pray from a distance, little bit. So my faith is shaken. So all these small things, oh, my friends don't follow this. So my faith is shaken. So that's in the beginning. So as we do bhajan kriya, anartha nivritti happens, we get some taste and then attachment. So our faith is increasing meanwhile, exponentially it's increasing. Until we get prema, the fifth goal. And that's the greatest goal to have in our life. All other goals are meaningless. They are like a drop of nectar as compared to the ocean of nectar of Krishna prema. So we, as devotees, we must have faith and we should work on increasing our faith. So all these descriptions are there so that we can slowly get purified and increase our faith. So we make a headway, we make a start in our bhakti process by doing sadhana bhakti. So to reach a goal, there is a path and we need to start. We need to start our journey. And how do we start our journey? Is by associating with devotees and performing devotional activities like hearing Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, taking honoring prasadam. So this is how we begin our journey, with full faith. And actually, how we begin is very important. It's very, very important. Although we can improve on the way as well, but it's very important how we begin. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are four types of starts, four types of beginnings for devotees, four types of people who approach Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukriti norjino artho jigyasur artharthi jnani cha bharatarshava. So four people approach me. Four people make a start on this path of devotional service. Who are these four people? Number one is the distressed. Artha, oh, I am very troubled in this material world. Depression, physical problems, problems with nature, other living entities, my own body and mind. So I am very much troubled. So as soon as you approach devotees and bhakti, you get some type of a joy. You say, no, this is good. And most of us are like that. That's how we start. So that's okay. Anyhow we start is good. Some, because we are on the path. But still there are degrees. And we must understand what is the topmost. So another start is desirer of wealth. We want wealth and material things. So somehow we have a little bit faith. Okay, Krishna, maybe it's supreme, maybe not. But yes, there are so many temples in the world, so maybe he is, you know, because we see, we have a tendency to see with what most people are doing. So yes, there are many temples, many people are praying Krishna, they are getting something. So maybe I'll also get. So that's called Artharthi, desirer of wealth. So he approaches Krishna. So these two are not very high motivations, but it's good in the sense Krishna says, Udara Sarva Evete. All these people who approach me are magnanimous because they have approached me. Somehow we have approached Krishna, so it doesn't matter. Low motivation or higher motivation, doesn't matter. Then the third type of person who approaches Krishna is Jigyasu. He is inquisitive. He sees, what is this going on? I'm intrigued by this. What are these people chanting, dancing on the streets? Or what is this food? This tastes very amazing somehow. It looks very simple, but it has some mystical taste. You know, like yesterday I was seeing people came from, like yesterday during lunchtime, there was a long queue. So just see, people must be living somewhere in Dandenong or somewhere. They have come all the way and they queue up for half an hour to get like a one plate of just simple vegetarian food. So it's, you know, they could just sit at home, watch TV, just, you know, buy something from nearby takeaway store. So it's, some people are intrigued by, what's this? It's some different taste here, something different. Of course, one thing is it's free, available, it's free, but not many people have limitation of money. They are intrigued. So that's Jigyasu. What is this? It's something strange. So I want to know more. So they approach. And the fourth one, Krishna says the fourth one, Tesham Jnani Nityukta Ek Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyo Hi Jnani No Tyartham Aham Sacha Mam Priya. So the fourth person, the Jnani, the person who actually is inquiring, what is the highest? I want to know what is highest. So he is inquiring. That person is highest. That's the topmost motivation to approach Krishna. So does that matter? Does that mean that a person in the beginning, which can be true with most of us, who approach Krishna to seek, like just because we were distressed and we approached Krishna, so that's a lower devotee than one who reached Krishna desiring to know what is absolute? In one sense, yes, but in other sense, no, because we need to improve. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to keep that desire. So that's what is important to understand. So initially, doesn't matter how we approached. We approached Krishna. But eventually, we should purify our desire. The real desire is, we want to know more about Krishna because we want to love Him. That's the fifth goal. We shouldn't keep our goal as artha or kama, that yes, I go to Krishna, there are nice devotees, nice men and women, I would marry them, they won't cheat us. You know, these are all right, these are all true goals. But highest goal is, I want to develop love for Krishna. So eventually, as devotees, we must target towards that goal. So, we start somewhere and we have the goal in mind, which is love of Krishna, and we should try to stay on the path. In one sense, everyone is on the path. Even non-devotees are on the path of Krishna. Krishna says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tan satay bhajamyaham mam vartamana vartante manushya path sarvasya. As you approach me, I'll reciprocate accordingly, and everyone follows my path. So what does that mean? Even non-devotees follow Krishna's path? Yes. Because there is nothing except for Krishna. Even material energy is Krishna's energy. So in one sense, even non-devotees are following Krishna. They are on the path. So, but the difference is, if you see a highway, I heard this example, His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj gave in one lecture. So everyone is on the path. If you're going on a freeway, some are going 100 speed in the proper direction. Some cars are broken down on the side. They are on the path, but they are not going anywhere. And some are going other way, the wrong way. So they are on the path, but they are going the wrong way. So that's non-devotees. They are on the path of Krishna. Mam vartamanu vartante manushya parth sarvasya. Everyone is in Krishna's energy. Everyone is serving Krishna. But they are going the wrong way. So everyone is on the path, but we must progress on the path towards right, in the right way and in right speed. Like if you are on a freeway, you can't choose your speed. You can't go one, if it's 100 kilometers per hour limit, you can't go 120 without being fined. Or you can't go 60 also, because the cars behind you will blow horn. So you have to be properly situated on the path. You have to go in a correct speed. And that speed limit, how you need to go, is decided by Krishna and his devotees, his pure devotees. That's where this guru comes in picture. Because guru will tell how to go on the path in our situation. So, although, as we are discussing, that this is very inconceivable, again I'll say Mahavishnu lying on, a big person lying on the ocean and universes are coming out from his pores. It's very hard to understand. But Krishna makes it easy to access. Recently I was reading, there was a European man, young man, he came to Australia, to Melbourne many years back, like for around 14 years back, and he was a research student and he was studying. He was into like landscaping, architecture, some similar field. So he went to Docklands. Everyone knows Docklands in Melbourne. So that's still a work in progress. They are building that place. But 14 years back, it was more so. So he studied the development and he was, because he was doing research, and so he noted down they are building this new area, house construction going and everything. And then he completed his research and he went back. And then he came back to Melbourne recently after 14 years. And he was amazed to see the progress, because in many European countries the rate of progress is not that good. So in Melbourne it was very good. He was surprised to see so much more has been developed. But still, he found out that it's still very less popular, even among people who are living in Melbourne, what to speak of tourists. Yes, some tourists go there, but it's not very popular. So he, according to his analysis, and he was very intelligent researcher and observer, so he said there are three things which can improve the number of people visiting Docklands and people taking interest in this place. So he said one thing is we need to make the infrastructure of this place has to improve even more. It's still a work in progress, but we need to make like a museum or something, some place of attraction here so that people can come. So improve the place. Second thing is accessibility. And he proposed that there should be more water transport. Like in Brisbane, I think there is public transport and ferries and all. So in Melbourne there are some ferries, but not very well connected. He said you must have like public transport, you use your Mikey on the ferry as well and like that. So it can improve, there is scope for improvement. And the third thing he said was promoting the place. So you have the infrastructure, you are, the place is accessible, but how will people know? So you need to promote. So same thing can be applied to the spiritual world. So what we are talking about is material and spiritual world. So that place has the best infrastructure. Yes? In material world, what do we have? Okay, there's nice places of attraction. You go to Great Ocean Road and nice attractive places. But what is spiritual world like? So the information is given. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpavriksha. So there the houses are made of touchstone. What are the houses made here of? Wood or bricks, you know, mud, material elements. Not very great. But their jewels and chintamani, just imagine. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha. And the trees are desire trees. Whatever you desire underneath a tree, it comes true. Recently, actually, one devotee was telling me, he was at Govardhan. And the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm and Vrindavan on earth, they are not different actually. It requires high advancement and spiritual vision to see that how Vrindavan here on this planet earth is not different from Golok Vrindavan. So anyway, this devotee was telling me this pastime or story, incident. So he was at Govardhan and he was chanting 64 rounds for a few days because he was there. He was doing more sadhana. So he was near a tree and it was very dirty around the tree. And he just thought, he was under the tree and chanting many rounds. And he just thought that, oh, I want to clean this little bit. And as soon as he thought that, a person, a worker came and he started cleaning there. So these trees are desire trees in Vrindavan. And in spiritual world, even on this planet earth or the spiritual world, these trees are kalpa vriksha. Whatever you desire comes true. So that's kalpa vriksha. And then lakshavriteshu surabhir abhipalayantam. There are the cows, surabhi cows. And they are also wish-fulfilling cows. They give unlimited supply of money, milk, and they can give anything actually. They are kama dhenu. So that's the infrastructure in spiritual world. So that's very attractive. The best possible infrastructure in whole creation. And then promotion. How does Krishna promote that place? He comes himself to advertise. He brings the whole place here, whole Vrindavan, his associate, and he performs same pastimes. And he promotes that place. And even when he goes back, he leaves scriptures like Bhagavatam, which has full description of that place. If you read 10th canto, everything is explained there. And he keeps sending his pure devotees, like Prabhupada and other pure devotees, who explain that there is a place, yad gatva na nivartante tad dham paramam. There is another place that they are promoting actually. They are advertising based on Krishna. And they are getting high salary. They are getting a salary of love of God. That's the greatest dhan. Golokera premadhan. Hari naam sankirtan. So they are getting that big salary. They are promoting. And the third thing, as we discussed, was accessibility. So that's where we struggle. Is we think that everything is good. Yes, we believe Krishna is great, his world is great, but to access it is very difficult. So that's our difficulty of faith, of pure of beginning devotees. We think that it's very difficult to go to spiritual world in this life. It's very difficult. Accessibility is very difficult, but it's not the fact. The fact is actually Krishna has made it very easy, especially Mahaprabhu. He Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanyaya avatar. He's an incarnation who is most magnanimous. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, there are so many incarnations which come in every yuga, every millennium, but those incarnations who act as devotees are most magnanimous. So in Panchatattva we see there are three Vishnu murtis or three personalities who are Vishnu Tattva. Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu and Sadashiv combined. Nityanand Prabhu is Lord Balram and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani. So these three are Vishnu avatars, but all of them, they are acting as bhakta, They are acting as devotees. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, these incarnations are in one sense higher than incarnations who show their opulence, like Narasimha Dev or Lord Ram or Varaha. They show their opulence and strength and power. Why? Because people, of course, they are awed. They are in reverence by this opulence, this exhibition of this opulence. But when they see an incarnation who is acting as a devotee, that gives a greater impetus to them, because it's easier to follow what they are doing. And they do it in a wonderful way. Like how Mahaprabhu, he was chanting and dancing. He went to Varanasi and it was a seat of Mayavad. There were big, big Mayavadi sannyasis there. And by his humility and his glow, he converted all of them. It describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, their mind had changed. They fell in love with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the whole city fell in love with him. So he used to go to take bath in the Ganges, and thousands and millions of people will follow him. And he would just raise his hands. He would say, Hari, Hari. And everyone, thousands and millions of people would say, Hari, Hari. So that's Bhakta Avatar. He acts in a way which we can follow. So that Avatar is greater. So Mahaprabhu has come and made the process so easy that spiritual world is made accessible to even the lowest person. The person who is most offensive and most sinful. He can access that highest place. So this is amazing. So that should give us faith that, no, this process is amazing, and we can access spiritual world. So that's how these concepts can become conceivable even to us. Even if we think we are lowest among the low people, but we can access the spiritual world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that doesn't matter, even if you have done the greatest sin, if such a person is worshipping me, he is not fallen. Apichet Suduracharo Bhajte Mam Ananyabhag Sadhu Rev Samantavya Samyag Vyavastito Hisa. Even if accidentally a devotee, a practicing devotee, may fall down because of previous habit, still, if he is doing the service regularly, he is not considered fallen down. He is very elevated. So that's the beauty of bhakti. So this process has been made easy and accessible. And it has to be done in association of devotees. So faith increases in the association of devotees. If we associate with devotees who are enthusiastic, who have faith, then our faith will increase. And we will take process very seriously. In one song, Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Grihe va vanete thake, ha goranga bole dake, Narottama mange tarasang. So he says, doesn't matter if a devotee is in renounced order or he is a grihastha, but if he is chanting, O Gauranga, he is chanting the names of Krishna, Radha, Gauranga, Nityananda, then I want his association. So he says that. So it doesn't matter who it is. If someone is practicing properly, then we should associate with such devotees. Few years back, there was a grihastha couple, and they got initiated, and they asked their guru, because usually we want something special. We want to do something special because we want people to see us as glorious. So we have that conception. That's a material conception. A real devotee actually wants to be more menial and less recognized as possible. So these new devotees, they asked their guru, one sannyasi, Iskon Sannyasi Prabhupada disciple, they asked him, Gurudev, we are initiated now. Please give us a special instruction. So the Guru said, okay, the special instruction for you is you chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regulative principles. And they were thinking, we already took those vows, you know, what's so special about that? But anyway, they didn't argue, and then later, after a few years, they understood and realized, and then they told their Guru that, yes, even that simple instruction was very difficult. That was very special. But as years go by, it's very difficult to follow 4 regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. And Prabhupada said, if you do that, you'll go back to Godhead. So these are not very low instructions or anything less than the highest. That's why many other, even Vaishnavas, even Gaudiya Vaishnavas in other groups, they say in ISKCON, you know, Prabhupada didn't give everything. Very low, just 4 regulative principles, only 16 rounds. It's not a highest process. What about Manjari Bhava, Gopi Bhava? He didn't discuss much about it. So many devotees, they get bewildered by such a propaganda. And many devotees leave ISKCON also. And then they may join some Babaji somewhere. But Prabhupada has actually given everything what is required. Yesterday, Gangeshwar Prabhu was discussing in our Bhakti Vaibhav class that the spiritual world is accessible very easily. It's everywhere. There are 5 manifestations. One is Golok Vrindavan. We were discussing, Anantavirya Prabhu was there. Please remind me if I have forgotten. The one is the spiritual world. Then one is when Krishna comes to this world and he's performing his pastimes. And third one is he leaves it here for us to access even when he goes back. So Vrindavan is there even now. So that's third. Then fourth is there is a pure devotee in his heart. He carries Krishna and Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu said, my mind is Vrindavan. So there is the spiritual world within a devotee, within a devotee's heart. So that's the fourth manifestation. And sometimes he manifests that externally. It is said that Krishna says that I am not present in a yogi's heart. I am not present in my spiritual abode. I am present where my pure devotee is glorifying me. And that can be anywhere. That can be this room as well. If we glorify Krishna, we hear glorification. So Krishna is present here as well. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adipurusham tam aham bhajami. So Govinda is present. He is manifested in the heart. Sada hridayeshu vilokayanti. He is always there in the heart. The spiritual world is always manifested and pastimes are happening there live. Like we have cricket match, World Cup is going on. Still going on or finished? Still going on. So we have the live telecast and then we have the replay. So what we think, all these pastimes happened, Krishna came 5,000 years ago and now we are getting a replay, same boring stuff. But no, for a pure devotee, it's live. It's live. Hridayeshu sada vilokayanti. It's not a repeat telecast, it's a live telecast. For a pure devotee. So if we associate with such devotees, they make us also, they help us to access that as well. The live pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Radha Krishna, of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. So that's the beauty of this process. It's very easy, very accessible. Golokera Premdan, Harinam Sankirtan. From Goloka, this highest wealth has come to us. This chanting of holy name. And just by chanting, we can actually realize everything. There is nothing else required. There is nothing else required. So this, we need faith on that. Because we are not pure, so we need to do all these other services so that we can develop more faith on holy name. So, just to summarize, everything mentioned, many things mentioned in scriptures are inconceivable. By associating with pure devotees and hearing from them, we can develop our faith and easily access spiritual world. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments. Yes, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. This is mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, verse number 6, I think. Drishtai svabhava janitair vapushascha doshai na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashye gangam vasam khalu budbuddha phena pankhe brahma dravatvam api gacchati nira dharmai. That sometimes when you see Ganges, there is foam and impurities. But Ganges water is never impure, right? It has still that those properties. Why? Because it has got dust from lotus feet of Krishna. When Vamandev pierced the universe with his foot, Ganges came down. So Ganges had dust. So it cannot be materially contaminated by external contaminations, right? So that verse, Rupa Goswami says that Ganges water cannot be impure. Externally we may see foam, dirtiness. So same way, a devotee, a pure devotee, is not contaminated. Even if we see externally he is deformed or he has some disease, it's like that. So he is pure in any case, because he is acting on spiritual platform. So because we are contaminated, we are seeing the contaminations, external contamination. If someone is very advanced, he can see the spiritual activity or spiritual mood of that devotee. And yeah. Any other questions? Yes, Madhi. Yes, it's called mokshkam. But even if we have that, if we approach Krishna, we'll be purified. But yes, that's not the highest goal. It's the mokshkam, that we want to get rid of suffering. But a devotee says, no, I want, if that suffering is pleasing to Krishna, I'll take that suffering. That's the mood of gopis also. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu describes also. And in Shikshashtak, we also see that Mam Janmani Janmishwari Bhaktar Bhakti Rahaitu Kitvai. That I desire, birth after birth, I'm ready to come to this material world, take material body, go through birth, death, disease, old age, Adi Bhautik, Adhyatmik, Adi Devik. As long as I have service for Krishna. So we don't want to go out. If Krishna desires, we will go. But what we should desire is service to Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and that's possible here also. So why should I desire going out of this place? If Krishna desires, okay, we'll go. So that's the best move, Mahaprabhu said. Yes, Ananta. Yeah, that's the three types of intelligence. How you feel the distress. The three types. And how you feel and learn. You're saying you go through it and you learn from it. You know, that's many people say that. That you have to actually be material. So that, and the stress has to be there. It's good, because then how will you enjoy? If you don't know the bad thing, how will you enjoy the good thing? There's nothing to compare. But the main thing is there are three types of intelligence. A person who goes through it, who sees others going through it, Or he may go through it and he understands. And then that's enough for him. Only one experience. Or just seeing others. He doesn't want to indulge in it. And he understands. That's topmost intelligence. The first one is he hears about it and sees others, and then he doesn't indulge in material activities and get distressed eventually. Second class intelligence is one goes through the experience, then learns that, oh no, this was bad. And third is he goes through the experience again and again and doesn't learn. So the distress is there, but we don't have to go through the everything to learn. Most intelligent person just hears, no, this material world is bad, it's fire, do not touch, that's it. He understands, he doesn't touch it, and he doesn't go through that distress. So that's wrong to say that unless we touch it and feel the fire, we will not understand how hot it is, and then we will not touch. No, we hear, that's intelligence. You hear from authority and understand, no, this is bad, and you don't do it. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mati. Hope is Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Mahaprabhu's devotees. Because Mahaprabhu, as Maharaj was saying, I think on Gaur Purnima evening class, that Mahaprabhu is so merciful, he even delivered the greatest offender, Madai, who hit Nityanand Prabhu. That's a great offense. Still he delivered. So same mood is there with the devotees of Mahaprabhu. Even if someone is a great offender, some magnanimous devotee may pardon them and show them mercy. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami talks about this mercy aspect in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, the logicians always try to give their logical analysis. This is like this, so that's why it has to be like that. I can't see God, so he cannot exist. So this is like logic. Show me, then I'll believe. You know, all these things are logic. But then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, if someone is a logician, he should apply his logic to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then he, chitte chamatkar, he'll be amazed actually, if he applies his logic to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. A person who is the greatest offender, he's delivering him. So what's the logic in that? He'll be amazed. Such a logician will be amazed. So that's why the devotees of Mahaprabhu are also like that. So it's very amazing that such a low class person can also be delivered. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. In any case, I heard Bhanu Maharaj as well saying that you cannot get bhakti unless you have done some bhakti. The only cause of getting bhakti or approaching Krishna is that you have done some bhakti in past, and that somehow or other. That's why it's called causeless. So like real logic cannot be applied there. So somehow some devotee was merciful and someone got, they did agyata sukriti and then they approached Krishna. So yes, agyata sukriti is the main thing. As far, yes, that's far as I understood in what I have heard, and especially Banu Maharaj speaks about this. Yeah, that's the only cause it's spoken about in Nectar of Devotion. There cannot be any material cause for bhakti, and actually it's an offense. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita also that it's an offense if you understand you do so many Ashwamedha yagyas or you dig so many wells, then you get bhakti. Because these are material sukritis. You can't get bhakti by any number of Ashwamedha or Gavalamba yagyas. Only bhakti. Somehow if someone has done bhakti, you can get bhakti.
So if they have bhakti, they can approach Krishna
and some sukriti. So then they have little bit faith, then they approach. Yeah. Any, sorry, you have further things?
Yeah.
Any other last question? Or comment? Yes. Yeah. So because in Bhagavatam it says Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Because Prabhupada came here, he converted this place to Vrindavan. Why? Because he chanted here. He glorified Krishna here. Right? He was sitting there. He glorified Krishna, manifested. He installed the deities. Gaunitai. We have the video as well. He made it into Vrindavan. So that's a devotee. He carries Vrindavan in his heart. He can manifest it anywhere. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. He turns the place to Tirtha. Simple. Okay. One more minute. Any other last question? Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.